Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Ephesians 3:20-21. And the whole congregation says together, Amen. This is the second lesson in a series of who knows how many, but the second one about forgiveness. Today, I'm going to come on down here with it. I'm going to start talking about forgiveness from the heart. And I'm going to start with a story. I normally start with our text. The text is written here for you to look at. But we're going to take a little time to get there. I want to tell you a story or two. Just give me just a couple of minutes to do what I should have already done. Do you all have a forgetter? Does it work? Well, mine works. And apparently this morning it was working overtime. Just give me a sec here and we'll get to... They'll feel like that... Everything will be all right. Let me hook up. I won't be fancy hooked up, but I'll be hooked up. Okay? Just pretend you don't see the wires, okay? You're not pretending. I'm kidding. I want to start with a story. It's a true story. It's not a preacher's story, okay, Tom? So it's not... This is actually a story that actually happened to a person, documented. The name of this person is Chris Carrier. And at the age of 10, down in Florida where he lived, on his way home from the last day of school, just before Christmas break, he was approached by a man who said he was a friend of his father and that he had come to pick him up and to help him go to a place that they were going to decorate and turn into a party for his dad, a special party for him. Well, the boy didn't really know him, but he went anyway. It was a bad thing. He loaded him up in his RV, and he drove him off out to a place that was secluded. And there he proceeded to stab him multiple times with an ice pick. And then he carried him out to the Everglades and he left him out there to die. Just drug him out and left him out there to die. And before leaving, pulled out a pistol and shot him in the head. Now, fortunately, the bullet went through the temple, the front part of the head, and out the other side without doing any real damage. He laid there for 6 days, unable to move or help himself, bleeding. He was finally found, carried to the hospital at the age of 10. And he recuperated. A couple of weeks later, when he was able to tell people what had happened, he gave a description of his attacker, and they drew up a actual picture of that. Some artist drew a picture of what he described to him. And his uncle identified the man as someone who had worked for the family, a caretaker, a man by the name of David McAllister. But when they brought David McAllister into a lineup, Chris was unable to positively identify him out of a lineup of folk. And so he went unpunished for his crime. Chris grew up. At the age of 14 or 15, he went to church with someone. He was baptized. became a Christian. He went off to seminary school and he became a minister of the gospel. He married a woman, had several children, and after some 22, 23 years, he got a phone call from the Coral Gables Police Department and said, and the sergeant said, 77-year-old David McAllister finally confessed to his crime. Now, this is after about 20 years of preaching for Chris and his family and his wife. But he had always, of course, suffered from this, a lot of emotional damage. I'm going to get to a lesson. But we're talking about forgiveness. Everybody watching me? From the heart. Chris decided that he would go to visit David. And the first time that he went to see him, he said that David, of course, broke down and cried and apologized for what he had done to him. And Chris said, don't worry about it, because I forgave you a long, long time ago. He found out that David didn't have a family. At 77, he had cancer. He was in this nursing home. He had nobody, and he was dying. So he and his family, his wife, his daughters, tended to David until his dying day. Forgiveness. Now, while many people wouldn't understand how a person could forgive someone for doing that, Chris said, from my point of view, and from what I know the Bible teaches me, I couldn't not forgive him. Because God has forgiven me about so many things. Why forgive? You've got to ask yourself that question. That's a very important question. Why do we forgive? Why do we need to forgive? You see, the Bible says that forgiveness frees the forgiver. It frees the forgiver. Anyone who's been wronged and knows that forgiveness is not an easy thing. However, resentment and bitterness are even more of a problem. You see, if anger is allowed to fester up in our life, it begins to spill over into other areas of our life. And it destroys our relationship, leading to a path of revenge. At least that's what we think we want. The writer of the book of Hebrews, write this passage down if you like. Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15, says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, I've said this to you before, but I want to say it again because we're reading it here. We're not talking about when we say holiness that you're better than everybody else. We're talking about being separate or separated from the rest of the world. In other words, acting in a way that no one else usually responds. Like Chris acted toward his attacker who meant nothing but harm, and yet he was able to forgive him. The verse continues and says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile you. You see, when you don't forgive, what begins to happen to you is that you become bitter about what life has done to you, or about what someone else has done to you. Now this is a, I don't know who wrote this statement. If I did, I'd tell you, but I like it because it says resentment is like a glass of poison that a person drinks and then he sits down and he waits for his enemy to die. Well, that's exactly right. Resentment is not going to do you any good at all. In fact, the only thing it's going to do is to harm you and not what you may be thinking about. Forgiveness, on the other hand, is unlocking the door to set somebody free and realizing that you were the one who were in prison. Hello? Did anybody hear that? Did that ever happen to you? You know, when you finally said, I forgive you, you recognized the only one really that had been bound up in all of that was you. Because it affects you. Forgiveness sets the forgiver free. In 1 Peter, the Holy Spirit directed Peter to write, he says in this is chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, finally, all of you, be like-minded and be sympathetic and love one another and be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. What the Bible teaches is exactly the opposite about what we see going on in the world around us, which is, of course, the reactionary kind of thing. Forgive so that you will be forgiven. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with saying that. I'm going to forgive you because I want to be forgiven. You remember last week we read from over the in Matthew chapter 9, what we call the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us of our debts or trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Isn't that what the book says? And that comes to life so vividly when we find ourselves in these situations. If you want to be forgiven yourself, you have to be able to extend forgiveness to others, allowing forgiveness to triumph over the desire, you know, to extract retribution or some kind of bitterness and resentment that you've built up. In Matthew chapter 6, the word Jesus, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Or Mark 11 and 25, it says that when you stand praying and if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Mark 11, 25. In other words, it's making it sound like if you're praying and you got a problem with a brother, God's not really interested in hearing your prayer until you forgive that other person. So, not only are you going to be forgiven when you forgive, but your prayers are not going to be hindered. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Luke 6, 37. Or James says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. James 2, verses 12 and 13. You see, to forgive means to cease to feel resentment against them. It's to grant them a pardon. It's to give up the resentment or any claim to requiting or making yourself feeling as though you've gotten even. You see, healing relationships requires forgiveness. Now, what I'm getting ready to talk about here, I think, is a question that every Christian struggles with. Okay? Healing relationships require forgiveness. That's easy to say, easy for me to say, but it's not always easy to do. And often the key, you see, to healing a relationship begins with a process of forgiveness. God is working in the world to reconcile fallen humans to Himself through Christ, and He calls us to be ministers. You can read this over in the book of Romans and 1 Corinthians about being reconcilers to the world. We're helping them be reconciled back to God. And that's what we're about. That's what we're doing. We're finding ourselves being brought back to God. Without forgiveness, there's not really any future. All of this is from God, who reconciles us to Himself through Christ and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You'll find that in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 and following, a great teaching. I won't read all of those verses, but they all talk about beginning with your forgiveness. Once, Paul says in Colossians 1, you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your own evil behavior. Now, that's what we call trying to remember where we came from. If anyone has caused grief, and he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent, not to put it too severely, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Did you ever do anything that brought about excessive sorrow to you? Huh? These are the things the Bible speaks to. What about reconciliation? How about reconciling with a person? I get this question a lot in my office as I talk with people. Does forgiveness mean reconciliation? I think there's a common reason among people sometimes who withhold forgiveness is they think that forgiveness requires immediate and total reconciliation with the offender. Now, I've written here this, I want to be heard correctly. Listen to this. And I want to read it so I don't say it wrong. People who have been hurt are going to ask, if I forgive, does that mean I have to put myself back, let's say, in that abusive situation? The answer to that is no. That's not what forgiveness is about. Forgiveness is not about placing you back into a poor relationship. Forgiveness is not the same thing as reconciliation. While God would like for us to be reconciled on every level, of course, He understands that that's going to take some time to work through the difficulties in order to get back there. All right, I've been kind of factual. I'll have more to say about the idea of in my next lesson about the idea of reconciliation. But I wanted to present those initial things before I even read our text today. There is a I like country music. I'm a country music fan. There's a song out here that has some really great words in it. You may know about it, maybe you don't. The first line says, "Let's say we're sorry before it's too late. Let's turn the anger. Let's give forgiveness a chance. Turn the anger into water and let it slip through our hands." Why? Well, because we all bleed red. We all taste rain. We all fall down. Is there anybody here with me? Does this describe your life at all? We all fall down. We all lose our way. Listen, we all say words we regret. Are you on that page? Can you stand in that line? You say anything that you regret that you said? And we all cry tears. We all bleed red. Now, there's a lot of things in our news today about other people and about other nations and about what they believe. And this is not a political statement, but I'm still coming back, or I'm going to come back to this simple idea that's being expressed by a songwriter that says no matter who we are, no matter where we come from, we all bleed red. In other words, there's the same kind of blood in them that's in you. That's how God views us. Aren't you glad about that? That no matter where you're from, or, you know, we call ourselves the United States of America, or that we're Americans, but probably all of us have a heritage that goes to another country. Is that right? You may have a little this in you. I won't just start naming them, but think of all of that that has come together here. And what is it that God is really asking us? Sometimes in the words of songs or in the melodies that songwriters write, we hear these things, and maybe they don't always impress us the way they should. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all. Do you? I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Or how about this one? Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Forgiveness is the testimony of God's love. We love because He first loved us. And whoever claims to have God, yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love his brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have seen. Isn't this what the songwriters are telling us as they pen their songs and in their melodies, trying to touch our hearts so that we can better live? 1 John 4:19 and 20 says it so beautifully. We forgive. We're supposed to give with no strings attached. And that may require us to forgive repeatedly.
And when we do, we shock the world with God's power at work in us. I mean, how do you not be touched by a person who's left beside the road, shot, stabbed, bleeding to death, who forgives his attacker, and not be touched with the power of God's love? Jesus said, I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, 44 through 48. And now, our text. It's several verses. There's so much to be said. I don't have time to preach all that I would like to preach about what's in this passage. But having said what I've said already to where we are right now, I want you to let some of this sink in. This is why I put the text down here. Peter came to Jesus and he asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? That's his question. He wants to know about what the limit is on forgiveness. And Jesus says, I tell you, not seven times, but seven times or 77 times or seven times 70. It's a completely different idea. So He gives them a story to illustrate it. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife, his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him and said, Be patient with me, and I will pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, and he grabbed him and began to choke him and said, Pay back what you owe me. And his fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him and said, Be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told the master everything that had happened. And the master called the servant in and he said, You wicked servant, I canceled all of the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you or each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Now, we're not talking about something that's easy, are we? This is not an easy teaching. And yet, Peter's question, which dealt with how many times do I need to forgive my brother or my sister, and Jesus' answer, of course, is as many as it takes, as many times as it takes. And when his actions are eventually exposed, that is, the servant that was forgiven of the debt and then went out and found another, notice that the fellow servants were outraged by it. And the king is moved even to anger. And the servant is called wicked. And the debt that had been canceled was renewed. What's the lesson? What do I want you to take home with today? This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. Jesus allows no excuse for withholding forgiveness for others. It is what the Lord demands of us. I'm not telling you it's easy, and I don't want you to be mad at me for giving you the message, but it is what the Bible teaches. And we have to learn how to forgive, even in the most difficult of situations. Otherwise, other people look at us and say they're hypocritical. They're self-righteous. They don't really want to follow God. Now, I know it's a tough message, but forgiveness from the heart is a message that we all need. I'm extending to you the opportunity to be forgiven from God's heart, because God will forgive you. He will wipe your slate clean, and you will not have to pay what you owe. If you want to come to Him, why don't you come right now while we stand together and sing?